Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to the Morning Report. This is Morning Report 35, as far as I can tell. As far as I can look into it. I thought I put 34 yesterday, so I'm going to put 35 today. It is a gas to be here. It is 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Daylight Savings Time. This weekend, we are going back to Standard Time, which means it'll be dark at 10 a.m. No, it won't be dark. But it's going to be a little different experience in the morning. Dark when you leave, dark when you come home. I don't really like that, especially in Florida. Florida voted against switching, but it's, you know, with all the stuff in Congress, it's sort of been held up in Congress, obviously. There's probably more important stuff going on, which is my guess, and we have not been able to get that, you know, pushed through Congress. I think it's ridiculous that a state has to get national approval, get federal approval to decide when they want to deal with their clock, but welcome to our America. All right, today we're going to talk about three things. We talked a little bit about candidate Elizabeth Warren deciding that it's pledging that if elected, she will crack down on charter schools, both the private and public entities of charter schools. So today we're going to follow that up with a story about a university that you might have heard that if their projections are correct, it's going to cost $100,000 a year to go to. College will be just for the super wealthy. The top 10th of the 1%, you know what I'm saying? Hear me, Bernie? And I'm also going to talk about the whistleblower has been unmasked. And it's, you know, pretty much what you thought it was. But we're going to talk about who the whistleblower is and how that is going to affect the so-called vote that should for about the impeachment hearings today. And we're also going to finish up with Trump has destroyed the New York Times. He has broken them. And if you haven't heard about this story yet, we're going to tell you today, and you're just going to shake your head. You are just going to shake your head and go, oh my God, has it come to this? Well, the fact of the matter is, yes, it has come to this. All right. Well, again, thank you for coming to the Morning Report. Oh, housekeeping. I rebooted, and I reminded you yesterday, I rebooted the Fight Back Media Network. It is now Fight Back Media 2020, and it is available on the fightbackmedia.com website. You can actually, if you go to the first page and just scroll down about halfway, there it is. And we are just putting up the Morning Reports now, and some of the Fight Back Media replays that I've done before are on. Sunday is church day. Like I was saying, you know, when I was first playing with it and telling you about it, I was experimenting. I didn't know, frankly, what the heck I was doing. But after some experimentation and some help from some really cool people, I now have an idea of what I'm doing, and I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited about it. So it has been rebooted. It is on right now. It is on right now, as a matter of fact. And I think the show from yesterday is on right now. That's the coolest thing. The show from yesterday, if you missed the show from yesterday, it's on right now on the Fight Back Media 2020 network. And if you can get there, if you go to fightbackmedia.com, scroll down about halfway, the show is playing right there. There's a big record, like as if it were on a record player that you can click on. And there you go. And we'd appreciate the visitors to the site. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more of the program right after these messages.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to smokybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40. One more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Oh, and if my feelings start to pressure you, it's all right. I will give you time.
All right. Welcome back to the Morning Report. This is number 35, as much as I can tell. And I appreciate that you are spending some time with us this morning. Our first story sort of piggybacks what we talked about a little bit yesterday. We talked about if a Democrat candidate for the Democrat pledged, in kowtowing to teacher unions, that she would crack down on charter schools, although she was able to at least 1 year send her fifth grader to an exclusive elementary school, Kirby Hall, I believe it was called. This year, Kirby Hall, to educate a fifth grader is like $14,000 a year, and to educate a high school kid is like $17,000 to $18,000 a year. So it's a pretty hotsy-totsy place, and ain't nobody hating. Ain't nobody hating. If that's where you want to send your kid, great. But reducing options for everybody else is not okay. And in an article talking about that very thing, we've learned that the folks at the University of Chicago, and you've heard about the University of Chicago because it's a pretty elitist place, Barack Obama went there and taught there, and so did his wife, Michelle. And, of course, a lot of the top Democrats went there. A lot of the top progressives went there. And if their projections are on target, by 2025, it should cost over $100,000 a year for an undergraduate to attend the University of Chicago. $100,000 a year. That's incredible. And at the very same time where you have these progressive candidates talking about free, college ought to be free and blah, 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 and it should be, because education is a right. Well, education to $100,000 universities always be a right? Or will it be a money grab? Will it be a way to fund progressive causes? Imagine if an education to the University of Chicago in 2025 was free to the attendees, to the students. They didn't have to come out of pocket. Because nothing is, because like they say, ain't nothing free, honey. Imagine when you have, I don't know, 30,000 people walking around and the government, that means you are paying $100,000 a copy for them that year. Wow. The rising cost of education. Now, they will tell you it's because they're studying more advanced things. But I will tell you that their freshman year, what they're still studying is math, science, social studies, psychology, the same things, the same liberal arts things they've been studying forever. Here in the state of Florida, there's a class called ENC 1101. ENC 1101 is freshman English. ENC 1101 is taught at all the state universities. It uses the very same number at all the universities. As a matter of fact, if you take it as a dual enrollment course in high school, it's ENC 1101. A similar class at the University of Chicago is going to be thousands of dollars. The same class you can get for free in a dual enrollment class will cost thousands of dollars. May cost $5,000. Now, this $100,000 price tag doesn't include just tuition. I need to be fair. It includes housing and food and all these things. And colleges or universities are competing with luxury amenities. Well, the schools that can are competing with, you know, with luxury amenities. They're making the dorm experience more like a hotel experience. Well, of course, where they have gyms, not the gyms that we had when I was in college, where you go down there and there's like a stationary bike, a set of barbells that had, you know, 100 pounds on them, and that's all they had. You know, and maybe a broken down row machine and a treadmill. And that was the gym. Excuse me. These universities have laundry services. Well, we had a laundry downstairs in my dorm. It was like 4 washing machines and like 4 dryers. That was laundry service. Universities have laundry service where they pick up your clothes and they wash them and bring them back to you, so you don't have to do it, which is why young people can't do anything. They can't do things. Of course, there's all sorts of ways to get food. There's no, you know what, warming up your can of Beanie Weenies, you know, on the stove and eating them with a plastic, you know, or eating them out of the can with a spoon, like back in the old days, because that's what you had. No, there's food services, you know, that either you can go and eat, or they'll bring stuff to you or whatever. So with all these amenities, these luxury amenities, dorm life in some of these universities has turned into hotel life, really. Someone to come in and clean your dorm and make sure that your bed is made. And I don't know if they leave a chocolate on your pillow or not, but probably. That would seem to be one of the things that I would have wanted, a chocolate or maybe a pork chop left on my pillow every morning. That way I can have it for lunch. It's very nice. What do you think? Anyway, so the price of this is skyrocketing. Now, the problem is that if you are a student who doesn't come from an inexhaustible supply of money, you see these prices and go, holy moly, won't be going there. Ah, But what they don't tell you is that's just a sticker price, kid. That's not the price that you pay. So if you're an average student, or you're a student who is average in the sense that your parents don't drink from the inexhaustible supply of money, well, that the price on the sticker is not the price you pay. Because that price is for the rich people who will subsidize the rest of your education. The problem is that people still look at the sticker price and go, can't afford that. No, I'm serious. If you walk into, how it works, if you walked into a Maserati dealership and got on the lot, okay, first of all, if I walk onto the Maserati dealership, I'm not wearing any clothes. I don't have any clothes that I could wear that would make any of the salespeople come out and talk to me about the car. They would not leave the air-conditioned showroom to come out and talk to me about. So you looking for a Maserati? What do you know about Maseratis? Ever been to one? Like to take a test drive? Never. I don't have any of those clothes, and I don't have that demeanor. So, it would not be a situation where I'd look at the sticker and go, "Oh, can't afford this," and the guy would go, "Ah, nobody pays the sticker price around here." And this is what these universities are having to do. Don't worry about the sticker price. I'll get you a deal. Yeah. And then you find the rich liberals, progressives, who are not upset because if they could pay a little more to subsidize somebody who can't afford it, well, that makes them feel good. That makes them feel good, like they're doing something, right? Well, instead of the universities just being reasonable with the prices of their tuitions and their amenities and the like, they can basically white guilt the uber rich, the uber wealthy, into being okay with paying for the disadvantaged kid who can only afford $80,000 a year, not $100,000. See where this is going? Where this is going is that college educations will be only for the uber wealthy. Fortunately, we live in a time where the value of a college education, except in a very few professions, is diminishing. It is truly diminishing. Just the value of having that college education is not what it was 5 or 10 years ago. You don't get a whole bunch of brownie points for finishing college or going to college as you did 10 or 15 years ago. Because there's so many, because thanks to the technology and thanks to the explosion in being able to obtain knowledge and information outside the confines of a classroom, it's just in a lot of places, it's not worth it. By the time you get the degree, whatever you were studying, especially in a technical field, has changed so drastically that your degree is almost useless. That somebody who's been out working in the field and rolling with those technical changes as they come while you were sitting in a philosophy classroom because it was part of your curriculum, they're ahead of you. They've started their own businesses and they're debt free and they're making more money than you. And this is the problem with our college university system, other than they cost $100,000 a year to attend. We're going to talk about that more as time goes on the other program. I'm going to get my friend Paul Swanson to talk about that as well, because I'm sure Paul has some insight there on college education and the value of college educations today as opposed to 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. All right, listen, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more of the Morning Report. My name is Willie Lawson, right after these messages. You know, every man my age should have three things, in my opinion. First, you should have your own barber. Second, you should have your own car mechanic. And third, you should have your own florist. That's right, florist. My florist is Christine Vasconcello at Blooming Days Flower Shop, located at 11618 North Florida Avenue, here in Tampa, Florida. An FTD Top 100 florist, Blooming Days meets all of your floral needs while respecting your budget. Give Christine a call at 813-933-1942. www.bloomingdays.com.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
And if my feelings start to pressure you, it's alright. I will give you time.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Morning Report. This is Morning Report 35, as far as I can tell. Yeah, you know what? I didn't want that to be a thing. Actually, I did in the beginning, but then I didn't. Now it's a thing, and now it's sort of out of control. And I should get it under control before. I'm like, this is Morning Report 1066 or 68, I don't know, before it gets really bad. And I have to count 1,000 Morning Reports. So I'll go back and try to figure it out this weekend. You know, we've heard so much about the whistleblower. The whistleblower that was on the call that President Trump made to the president of Ukraine, Zelensky. And this is the person who said, wait, there's something terribly wrong here. Something wrong. And I have to save the Republic. And we got to figure out, you know, what's going on here. Now, a lot of us, this is not going to be like, oh my God, kind of moment for you. It's going to be like, yep, thought so, kind of moment for you. And this article is from my friends at townhall.com. I think this is Bronson Stocking. Because you guys know that Beth Bauman is my favorite over there at townhall.com. She is my favorite because she's awesome. The article goes, Everything Trump's defenders feared about the whistleblower is true. According to a report from Real Clear Investigations, the whistleblower is 33-year-old Eric Ciaramella. Ciaramella is a holdover from whose? The Obama administration, a registered Democrat, and has been accused of leaking like crazy. He's worked with Joe Biden. He's a vocal critic of President Trump, and he invited a DNC operative inside the White House to attend meetings. He also helped instigate the investigation into Russian collusion. So, of course, Democrats believe that his secondhand complaint about the president's phone conversation with Ukraine, President Zelensky, over the actual transcript of the call himself. And because now he's saying that there is stuff left out of the transcript. Because he has to say things are left out of the transcript. He's got to pull the Adam Schiff. He's got to say that there are things that are not in the transcript that were left out. He's got to say that. Like Adam Schiff gets up there and just completely represents the phone call. Remember? Yeah, I remember. So this same tactic is being used by Eric's Ciaramella. This is from Real Clear Investigations. He was accused of working against Trump and leaking against Trump, said a former NSC official speaking on condition of anonymity to discuss intelligence matters. Also, Ciaramella huddled for, quote, guidance, end quote, with the staff of House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, including former colleagues also held over from the Obama era, whose Schiff's office had recently recruited from NSC. Schiff is a lead prosecutor in the impeachment inquiry. This is a kangaroo court. Holy my lord. And Ciaramella worked with a Democrat National Committee operative who dug up dirt on Trump's campaign in the 2016 election, inviting her into the White House for meetings. Former White House colleagues said the operative Alexandria is this Chalupa? Really? A Ukrainian American who supported Hillary Clinton led an effort to link the Republican campaign to the Russian government. He knows her and had her in the White House, said one former co-worker who requested anonymity, of course. This dude is an anti-Trumper. This dude is an operative for the DNC. This dude is a plant. This is all to create what I talked about yesterday that I stole from Rush Limbaugh. This is to create an illusion of horror, terror, guilt, and inevitability. But frankly, this is exactly what we expected. The report claims that the federal records show that Ciaramella attended a state luncheon with Joe Biden's office back in October of 2016, and you'll never guess who else was there. Who else do you think was there? That's right. Former FBI Director James Comey and National Intelligence Director James Clapper. Two of Trump's biggest critics. You can't make this stuff up. The report says that it was strained for Ciaramella. Ciaramella, a relatively low-level GS-13 federal employee, to have been there. Why was he there in the first place? And it describes Ciaramella's invitation as unusual, seeing that it signaled that he was politically connected inside the Obama White House. So there are records that say that he was at this state luncheon, and you're like, and some people think so, and that's what you're going to hear from the left. So, well, the problem is, this guy's an underling. No business at this luncheon. That's not how things work. No one walked by and said, "Hey, dude, you hungry? Let's go to lunch." That didn't happen. And with Ciaramella's name long under wraps, interest in the intelligence analysis has become so high that a handful of former colleagues have compiled a roughly 40-page research dossier on him. A classified version of the document is circulating on Capitol Hill, and briefings have been conducted based on it. One briefed Republican has been planning to unmask the whistleblower in a speech on the White House floor. On the House floor, on the internet, meanwhile, Ciaramella's name for weeks has been bandied about on Twitter feeds and intelligence blogs as the suspected person who blew the whistle on the president. The mainstream media are also aware of his name. They know. No wonder Democrats and the media have kept such a tight lid on the whistleblower's identity. Now William Barr, the AG, needs to investigate the origins of the whistleblower complaint so we can get to the true conspiracy here, which is more and more looking like another attempt to overturn the 2016 election. Now, a lot of people will say, a lot of people have been saying that this is a coup. And I try to avoid that kind of language, but this is definitely coup-like behavior. You know what I'm saying? This is coup-like behavior. If you were planning a coup, this is kind of how you do it. Don't you think? It's crazy. Folks, we got to stay strong. Oh, L, and to get out of here, we Trump has broken the back of the New York Times. He has broken them. The president retweeted. Now, he didn't sit at home in the White House upstairs with Photoshop doing this stuff. He retweeted a lighthearted meme of an obviously doctored photo showing him placing a Medal of Honor around the military working dog that helped take down ISIS leader Baghdadi. To really hammer the point home, the New York Times wrote a story about it. Huh? They wrote a story about it. You've got to be freaking kidding me, right? The New York Times wrote a story about it. It's crazy. He retweeted a picture of him. He didn't Photoshop the picture. An obviously Photoshop picture of him putting a Medal of Honor around the neck of this dog. This is the headline they ran. Trump tweets fake photo of hero dog getting a medal. They had two writers in on this. Now, they did make clear that the photo created by the Daily Wire was not real, but a doctored version of a 2017 AP photo from the ceremony awarding Medal of Honor retired Army medic James C. McLaughlin. Now, here's the weird part. They reached out to McLaughlin for a comment. Like, somehow, McLaughlin was going to be freaked out and horrified and pissed off about it. Because they were. Well, thank you, Army medic James C. McLaughlin. Because he just laughed. He just laughed in their face. He basically said military dogs had placed an played an integral role in U.S. military operations for decades. He was a fact that McLaughlin was well aware of, having worked with one in Vietnam. He said, "This recognizes the dog as part of that team of brave people." He told the Times, "You have got to be kidding me." Mr. McLaughlin, who taught high school after his military service, added that they are very courageous, he said of the dogs. He was concerned about the I can't read what it says, and I'm gonna get a bigger screen once you guys start giving the show money. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Trump has broken them. There you go. Mr. McLaughlin, who taught high school and coached youth sports after his military service, added that he had worked with a dog in Vietnam who helped detect enemy activity during missions. They are very courageous, he said, of military canines. He was also concerned about the condition of the dog after the president tweeted that the dog was injured when the terror leader detonated the suicide vest. "Once a medic, always a medic," Mr. McLaughlin said. Well, Mr. McLaughlin probably already knows, and if you didn't know, the dog was injured, but the dog is fit as a fiddle and back at his post. There you go. Seriously, the New York Times, Trump has broken them. They have lost every bit of their credibility. Every bit. They're done. They are absolutely done. They seem like at this point will play no part in the future of anything. Unlike the Mueller report, who's going to play an integral part of the future in everything as we go forward. Thank you ever so much for coming this morning. We appreciate you. Until we see you again, go out there and learn something, love somebody. And for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourself. We'll see you when we see you. Bye-bye now.
start to pressure you, it's alright. All right.